Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why YouTube's showing me right now. It should show Richie. I mean, this is...
I think it's because you're talking. I think it connects to the mics and then the cameras and the mics and the whole thing.
You got to improve that system, though. I mean, John, say something so YouTube shows you.
Shoot my old lady. You know, I call her messing around with another man. And that ain't too cool.
Is he the greatest musician you've ever come across?
I don't know, man.
Is he the best?
Or Prince? He's the greatest guitarist. Okay. There's no question.
And yeah, I said
for
Prince.
Me,
yeah, Ruben,
I said it.
You know,
wanted so badly to be able to do the guitar kind of the way that he did.
Like, are you left-handed?
Yeah, but I'm not left-handed guitar-wise.
I am.
Well, I'm
and
not.
That's why I stopped because I didn't want to switch.
Boy, is this a dorky conversation? Who plays guitar with their left hand? Go ahead, dork.
It just seems like
dork it out. Go
it
ahead.
Seems like it. It makes sense if you're left-handed that way of being strung, the right-handed guitar, in air quotes, you're using your left hand to fret. So why is that left-handed? I always thought it was kind of a misnomer. I'm fine with the way it is.
James, let me ask you a question. What's my opinion of how people play music?
Save it.
Don't care.
Yeah.
You ever played a musical instrument or anything?
You know, most intelligent people in the world play instruments.
Yeah, but there's only one thing I care about as it relates to music. Do I enjoy the song?
Amen.
That's it. I don't care if you play with your freaking toes, your tongue, your right hand, or your left hand.
I understand
play.
That.
That's, you know, I understand.
Have you ever tried to play an instrument yourself?
Yes. When you were like a kid. I had to
the
take
recorder?
The, I took the recorder at Pinchardt.
Of course.
Mrs. Clenny. Do you have Mrs. Clenny in a Pinchardt?
I did not.
Oh, man. I got in trouble with
so
her.
So you learned to read music and stuff?
No. And I had to take the guitar.
Did you do the bells?
Guitar?
The guitar.
What's a guitar?
The guitar. Senior year of college, because I was behind in credits, and me and this guy would just sit there and talk baseball. He gave me a B one semester.
That's a college course?
Yeah, I got a B and a C.
Man.
Because I was behind in credits, and I just had to make them up.
Why'd he give you a C?
I guess my opinion on baseball went down in the second semester. I really threw in the towel. Like, I went from, like, I'd be like, strum, and I got nothing. I was supposed to do all this practice. I would just go in there, a couple strums, and then we would just talk about Pete Rose every single time. That's what we did.
Well, it sounds like you're trying to cheat the system.
I was, but I got my credits and I got my degree, and that's it. And
there are some professors in college who will let you get away with that stuff. I had some of them. I know exactly what you're talking about.
This guy loved talking baseball.
He didn't gain the reward.
I wish I had a couple of those.
Broadening of your horizons. You failed to... Take that on.
What do I care? Hey, I tell you what I do care about.
You could have been a better person for the future. You know, like, you could be a bigger, better version of Joe DeCamera.
Yeah, but...
But he doesn't care.
But I don't care. Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you what I do care about, though. When Wendy's brings us a big old spread of food.
Buddy.
Oh, right? We digging this? Right?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Bacon sausage and sandwich.
Well, yeah, breakfast burger was unbelievable.
The breakfast baconator.
Is that what it is?
It's the heartiest breakfast sandwich going.
Baconator.
And then if that's not your style, get a breakfast burrito. The breakfast burrito is massive and hits just right.
Nice
and you get some Cholula on there. It's perfect.
One of my favorite little bite to the sandwich.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
One of my, the sausage got a little zip to it.
Oh, I like that.
A little fastball.
One of my favorite sports radio moments ever. I heard Charles Barkley being interviewed one time. Mid interview, orders a Baconator. Like right in the middle of the interview. Barkley in a Wendy's line ordered. All right. So here's the deal, guys. Get yourself some Wendy's, the bacon and sausage burritos, the breakfast Baconator, seasoned potatoes, the Cinnabon pull apart, and even the Frosty Cream cold brew. Freshen up your morning with Wendy's breakfast if you're ready for a fresh wake up call. Gotta be Wendy's. Get to your local Wendy's today.
I gotta admit, I tried some Cinnabon pull apart on my breakfast burrito. Ooh. It was definitely outside the box.
What?
Definitely outside the box.
Sweet and savory.
If you like the sweet and savory, I recommend it.
There you go. Yeah, that's solid. How you do. Let's go to the phones. Sheil Kapadia will join us shortly. The latest on the NFL draft, obviously, for the Eagles in 2 days. Paul in Downingtown. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. That was a really funny clip you guys played of this, Shaq.
And that was great.
It's just another reason I'd rather be Shaquille O'Neal than George Brett, because I'd much rather be Shaq on TV than George Brett at the casino, that's for sure. And on to the Phillies. I don't know, man. I have some serious questions. I know Ruben said the sky isn't falling, but I'm feeling like Chicken Little this morning. And I don't like the fact that Topper sounds like a carpenter blaming his tools. I don't like that at all. And if
I feel the other way around, Paul. I get frustrated that he doesn't blame them more. He's going too Andy Reid on me. It's too much now with complimenting guys who failed. It's too much.
Well,
and I know he's protecting them. And he's got to walk back in there, and he's got to see them, and he got to see them the next day. But like, I don't want to.
He feels like they're delicate at this point.
Yeah, I don't
maybe.
Like it.
Like he feels like he has to massage this to some degree. I don't like it either. Like, I think it feels so overly accommodating and
yes.
soft and cushy, and what you're engendering is just, like, continued soft and cushiness, and I don't think that wins.
Yeah.
But, hey, he is the manager of this team, and he does know these players really well, and, you know, maybe he knows better than I do what Aaron Nola needs right now. Aaron Nola, maybe he's really down and out and just struggling with this, and he needs to be coddled. I don't know. That's part of what goes into being a manager.
I mean, he said it himself. He said he stinks. I mean, basically, he said he was brutal.
Like, I just
he
I want,
said the words.
I want to hear the manager say the pitcher has to pitch better in cold weather.
Yeah,
like, you know
too.
What I mean? Like, that's because that's what it is. We can all identify he doesn't pitch as well in cold weather. Well, pitch better.
Right. Maybe I picked a bad metaphor, but I'm tired of the excuses. That's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of the excuses. And if I'm Middleton, like, I have some serious questions because I think the Dodgers have really thrown the gauntlet down, you know, with that roster and what they've done. And if I'm Middleton, I have real serious questions about a couple of my contracts, you know, and not to use another team, but I don't want to feel like we're going the way of the 76ers, where I have a bunch of overpaid old guys on my roster with diminishing skill set and no chance of winning a championship and no money.
It's not that bad, though. To be clear, it's not that bad.
When we play the Dodgers,
I know that it's not, but
we don't seem to have these problems.
But to me, the Dodgers weren't playing that great because a lot of things come out in the aggregate. And when you look at the Phillies roster, there's a lot of money being spent and there's still a lot of holes. Like, we're not getting production offensively from too many positions.
I agree.
So, you know, if I'm Middleton, you know, I want to know, what is your plan to make this roster compete with the Dodgers and to win championships?
Well, think about what the Dodgers are saying. The Dodgers are saying, you can't beat the Phillies.
No, they're not saying that.
No, they're not.
John.
They're saying we just won the World Series. We have the best record in baseball.
They don't care one second.
It's regular season.
The way that we match up against the Dodgers, it's favorable,
but
man.
But the Dodgers don't care.
It's the regular season. Freddie Freeman didn't play.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing
here?
You're right
about Freddie Freeman not playing. But as it stands, we match up well with the Dodgers.
But nobody cares. The Dodgers are guaranteed to be in the playoffs. The Phillies got to get their ass in gear to make it.
And also, I only care about matchups in October. Like, matchups in regular season just don't matter. Yeah. It's not like you match up that way.
Paul, I got to get to Sheil Kapadia. Give me an answer. Sure. What used to be a big deal in the 90s and is not now?
Well, in the 90s, I used to, every day, it seemed like there was a new boy band. You couldn't take a step without tripping over a new boy band. I'm glad we've kind of chilled on
great
that.
Answer.
That is a good answer.
Great answer.
Yeah. So you had Backstreet Boys, you had NSYNC.
You had All for One. Yeah, there were so many of them.
Wow. Boy bands is a really, really good answer. All right, let's get some answers in the NFL draft with Shiel Kapadia. We love having Shiel on. He does phenomenal work for The Ringer. Been with us on our program for so many years, breaking down Eagles football, normally during the season, but it's fun in March and April in particular, whether it's free agency or the draft, when they form the team with who's going to be on the team based on who they pick. And for more on all of it, Shiel Kapadia. Good morning, Shiel.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Shiel, I got to sneak one Phil's question in with you, and then we'll get to the Eagles. Your frustration meter, how high is it right now at the Phillies?
It's medium. It's you know, we're not at Memorial Day yet. They're three games over 500. The bullpen is what really has me concerned, and I was listening to Ruben say, hey, Ranger Suarez, maybe he can be the answer there, and I keep thinking maybe that is going to be the answer for them because they need another arm back there that I feel like when they go into the game, I can trust them. So that, I'm not at a 8 or a 9 yet. Yeah. Let me give it some time.
Shiel, hang on a second. Let me ask Ruben a question. Ruben, we touched on this yesterday. I mean, to me, I would think this is a non-starter for Ranger and his agent, Scott Boras. But would Ranger willingly move in the bullpen in May or June in a contract year? I mean, I feel like that's an unfair ask.
I think it's too early to do that. At some point, he may have to. And at some point, that's the best if that's the best thing for the team. But we have to remember, again, they don't have a whole lot of depth pitching-wise after Ranger and eventually Painter. So,
well, you got six guys. I mean, at some point, you got more depth than the other guys got down the street.
And you have more depth there than you at other spots in the team.
Absolutely.
Right? At this particular moment.
True.
Okay, there's 5 months left and then another month, so hopefully.
Yeah.
So, you know, pump the brakes.
All right. Shiel, let's talk some Eagles here. Let me just start with a basic question. Give me two or three names at pick 32. Reasonable for the Eagles to get at 32 or moving up just a little bit. Two or three names Eagles fans should be thrilled if they hear the Eagles have drafted on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think one guy who's generated a lot of buzz is Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss. He transferred from Texas A&M. Very disruptive player, you know, and if you're the Eagles, and you want to fill that defensive tackle hole and get someone who on third down can rush the passer next to Jalen Carter, fill that void from Milton Williams and really has upside. I mean, you're picking at 32. So there's every guy you get, they're going to have some questions with them. And he wasn't the most consistent producer, but I do think the potential, the upside there is there with Walter Nolan. So that's one. Another guy I like is Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia. Now, I don't think that's the Eagles' preference. Would be to get a safety at 32. I think they would like to address the lines of scrimmage. But, man, if the board falls a certain way and he drops, he started as a freshman at Georgia, was a highly productive player there, high football IQ. I think he's someone who could come in, replace Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and be a really good player for you.
Who don't you want?
He is a guy who is still talked about sort of in our vicinity, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Starks has been a name who's, like, around our area in 32. Are there any guys that I know, Joe, you want to ask who don't you want?
Yeah, Shiel, who don't you want? Who has been discussed and viable in that range that you think would be a bad fit for the Eagles?
Yeah, you know, there are a few guys. You know, there's this edge rusher, Mike Green, from Marshall, who people like. I mean, he's facing two sexual assault allegations, and I just feel like if you're taking an edge rusher from Marshall with that kind of baggage, you know, that to me would not be a good use of a first-round resource. That's when Shamar Stewart is this edge rusher from Texas A&M who everybody likes his potential. He had 1.5 sacks last year. And so to me, you know, the draft is all about making bets that you feel good about, knowing that there's going to be risk. And I would just rather take a guy who is a little bit more productive in college.
Yeah, so the clean player, the player that you would trade up for, it does everything sort of have to be perfect for that guy? I would prefer, like, going back, accumulating more picks in this draft, Shiel, personally. But if you know, I were to go up, I want it to be worth my while. That's for sure. How does that work for the Eagles or any of these teams? It's got to be as perfect as it gets in order to sacrifice that sort of capital to move up in the draft. And do you see guys that you secretly think could slip that the Eagles would make a move for?
Yeah, it all depends how far up you're going. You know, Howie Roseman's MO has been, he will trade up. I mean, we've seen that in a bunch of these recent years, but it's not a massive trade up. He's not going like 10, 12 spots up. It's all right, let's get ahead of T-Max because we think they're interested in the player we want, so we're going to move up three or four spots, maybe give up a fourth-round pick and make sure we get the player we want. It's hard to identify a lot of those guys in this draft. You know, it's one of those drafts where you look at it, and even in the top 10, I look at some of these guys and I say, wait, they're going in the top 10? This guy has an injury question. This guy doesn't have the measurables, all those things. So I'm not sure this is the year to do that. Now, a couple names just in case. One would be Mykel Williams, who is an edge rusher from Georgia. Now, I don't think he's going to fall to a spot where the Eagles are going to be able to move up. But if you're asking me, hey, just kind of a dream scenario here,
yeah.
If he starts falling a little bit, he's only going to be 21 years old as a rookie. He's kind of like a DeMarcus Lawrence, Jason Pierre-Paul type body type. I think he's someone Vic Fangio would really like. And so I think the position matters a lot for whether they're going to move up. I would say lines of scrimmage, they would think about it. I have a hard time thinking they would trade up for any other position in this draft.
Shield, two-part question on tight end. One, is Goddard gone by Sunday morning? And two, do you think tight end is a viable option in the first two rounds for the Eagles?
I mean, I would just like a Goddard resolution because I'm sick of talking about it, probably like you guys are. I mean, Mike, can someone make a decision here on Dallas Goddard? Mike, what is going on here? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be gone on Sunday morning. This thing has dragged on forever. They make the comments at the combine in the owners' meeting where you say, all right, he's definitely gone. Well, guess what? He's still on the roster. And by the way, a little domino here in this Dallas Goedert discussion is that the Baltimore Ravens have a tight end, Mark Andrews, who supposedly is also available. So now if you're another team looking for a tight end and you want to trade for a veteran, you have multiple options out there, and that's probably not going to work in the Eagles' favor. So I don't want to act like I know what the resolution is going to be there because I'm still a little confused about it. Does it result in a pay cut for Dallas Goedert? And he comes back and stays. So I can't tell you that. I really don't know. I guess if I had to guess right now, maybe, yeah, I would say he's gone this weekend and maybe they find a trade partner this weekend. First two rounds, it would shock me if the Eagles took a tight end in the first round, just because I think the two top guys are going to be gone before their pick. And I don't see another guy who I like enough, at least, to draft at 32. Now, day two, yeah, I think that absolutely is an option. Specifically, if they know they're going to trade Dallas Goedert, there are some guys out there. Mason Taylor is a tight end from LSU. Elijah Arroyo is a tight end from Miami who's a really exciting player, a vertical threat. So there are two or three guys, I think, on day two that could potentially be options for the Eagles.
Where do you think Shedeur Sanders is going to go, Gio?
I've got him at 21
wow.
to the Steelers. Yeah, it's, you know what? It's really confusing. It's the whole draft, you know, content machine where a guy is swinging from the third pick to the ninth pick to the 21st pick in a matter of weeks, and you're not sure what's going on. It just seems like the league is not that high on Shedeur Sanders' upside. So I think he may start to fall a little bit, and a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they don't have a quarterback, they might get a little lucky there and get a guy with a chip on his shoulder who maybe can come in and play well for them.
He really could tumble. If he doesn't get taken three or nine, he could go, because a lot of those teams have quarterbacks. He could really, I mean, I remember the Tennessee kid a couple years ago, maybe was going to go in the top five, went in the second round. It happens sometimes. So, all right, Sheila, I got two different Twitter poll questions of the day, and I'm curious how you would personally answer them. It's about acquiring a star pass rusher. Twitter poll questions brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. All right, same question, just with a different name each question, Sheil. Would you trade the Eagles' first-round pick at 32 for T.J. Watt, and would you do it for Trey Hendrickson? You get it. GM calls you, says, Howie, enough. Enough of all the scouting. Like, you get T.J. Watt, you give me 32. You doing it?
I think I'm a no on those, knowing their financial situation and how much T.J. Watt is getting paid and how much you're going to have to pay Trey Hendrickson, and the fact that those are guys who are, I believe, 30 years old or right around 30 years old. So I think if I'm going to trade a first-round pick and a guy on a cost-controlled rookie contract, it's going to have to be for someone who is in their mid-20s, who's going to be around and productive for a long time. So I would be tempted. Don't get me wrong. TJ Watt especially is a game-wrecking player. But I think ultimately, knowing every signal that the Eagles have given us this offseason about their financials and about their concerns about paying a lot of these younger players, I think I would be a no.
Yeah, so here's where the audience is. 67% say yes on TJ Watt, and 51% say yes, or 49% say yes on Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
You know,
it would be tempting. You know, then another name course, I'll put out there that I just saw in Adam Schefter's column yesterday is Odafe Owe from the Baltimore Ravens, who had 10 sacks last year, played his college ball at Penn State, was thought of as kind of a raw player coming into the NFL, is developing a little bit. But according to that column, you know, maybe the Ravens don't want to pay him big money. So that, to me, that name caught me by surprise. I didn't think he was available. But when I saw that name, I thought, all right, if the Eagles are actually going to take a big swing, maybe it would be for a younger player like that who's going to be around for a long time. So that's just another name to kind of throw in there.
Shale, this is a bit of a flyer, but when you were watching tape on any of these college kids, did anyone pop just for you? You know, like when I watched, I don't know, Sidney Brown's college tape, it was like, holy cow, this guy is flying around trying to decapitate everyone. It was just like, man, I love the way this guy plays. Did you find any guys that just really stuck out to you?
Yeah, there's this safety from South Carolina. His name is Nick Emmanwori, and he is actually a guy who could potentially fall into the, you know, around where the Eagles are drafting, because safeties typically don't go that high. He's 6'3". He's 220, and he is an unbelievable athlete. Like, all these guys are great athletes, so when there's one guy who's flying around and you say, wow, he's moving at a different speed than everyone else, and it was backed up by everything with his combine testing, and, you know, he kind of drops into coverage and has good instincts. I thought, man, this would be a really interesting player for Vic Fangio to get his hands on and add to his defense. So, yeah, he was
6'3", 220.
Yeah.
Running a 4.38.
It's unbelievable.
Man. Yeah. That tweener.
Yeah, I know.
You talk about a guy. We're talking about guys who can be off ball and blitz off the edge. This is a different incarnation of that. This is guys who can play off the ball and cover everybody.
Yeah, I thought about him. Hey, they have a little linebacker issue with, you know, we don't know when N'Kobe Dean is going to be back for this football team. I thought, man, on third down, I really think this is a player you could just line up next to Zach Bond and put in your coverage packages. So he was a guy that was pretty interesting to me.
Hey, Shale, great work in the lead up to the draft, man, as always. And, of course, we'll talk to you when it's over, whether it's Friday or early next week. We'll get you on again soon. We really appreciate when you come on the show. Thanks, Shale.
All right, look forward to it, guys. Take care.
You got it, man. Shale. All right, time's yours up ahead. Also, comments from YouTube and phone calls. All of that and more. And I want to get Ruben on being a GM in a draft war room. What is that like? Howie will be back in it again in 2 days. What is that like? That and more up ahead on 94 WIP. All right, FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is the place to bet all your favorite player props. Obviously, with all these playoffs going on, unfortunately, without our local squads. But basketball and hockey, NBA first-round playoff action's happening, and you can lock in the bets at FanDuel.com/hammer. You know, from a basketball standpoint, the player props include, you know, points scored, does a guy get a triple-double, the stats like assists and rebounds. It's all there, every stat you can possibly imagine. And then, obviously, the big one, who's going to win a game? Who's going to cover the spread? Things like that, all of which is there at FanDuel.com/hammer. Of course, you can also lock in on MLB on a day-to-day basis. Our local squad back at it up again later today in New York. All of it there at FanDuel.com/hammer, including your chance to get started. If you're a new FanDuel customer, get started with $250 in bonus bets. $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. What a deal. What a site. What an app. The FanDuel app, FanDuel.com/hammer.